Councilperson Musler, would you lead us in the pledge to our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Musler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman? Councilmember Goodrich?
Here. Okay, all present accounted for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can address the Council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything you'd like to address your City Council, you can come forward, give your name, address if it's okay with you, and speak to the City Council. So do we have any takers for the evening? There we go, we got a taker. Yay for you. Go dog.
My name's Gary Bannerman. I live at 6810 Portaway, Ferndale, Washington. For those that don't know, it's just south of the Granby Road on Portaway. My position here is, I just want you folks to know that I'm opposed to the 6-mile proposed BNF second track that is part of the Gateway Pacific project that Ferndale currently has endorsed. But I, as a landowner in the area, am somewhat opposed as it's currently designed, and I thought I'd go over that. I've reviewed the plan, and I'm concerned with the following. I'm concerned about the traffic, with the rail traffic impacts to the vehicle congestion at Brown Road. For those that don't know, Brown Road connects to Malloy. For 40 years, that's how I go to Ferndale. They had a second track. I've got two to cross, and it's on a bank. And it's currently already very hard to navigate with vehicles, with trailers and everything. And with a second track there, I'd like to know how they plan on doing that on a corner. I'm concerned with traffic congestion at the Granby Road. If they build the second track, the proposal, and I'll show you guys if you're interested, is going to be on the east side of the existing track, which puts it about 15 feet closer to Portaway. And in the future, if you ever decide to improve Grandview and Portaway intersection, now you've got roundabout problems, you have logistical issues, and big trailers that are going out to BP, how are they going to get through and cross the tracks because they'll want to be level. I'm concerned with this increased rail traffic causing vehicles to back up onto Portaway that are sitting and waiting to cross, and on also the traffic on Grandview trying to go east towards I-5. Pedestrians, they're trying to walk across. Now they got two sets of tracks. We all know rail safety. People get hit, 500 people a year or something die being hit by trains. So for those that didn't know, my neighbor was given a drawing as of September. It's 80% design review, yet I've reviewed the rail corridor plan with WashDOT. I reviewed the freight rail plan with WashDOT, and they are unaware of any petition from BNSF to add a parallel track at this time. The Utilities and Trade Commission is unaware of any petition with BNSF, yet here is an engineering design. And I work at a refinery. I kind of know how this works. Once you're in design and you spend a lot of money, you don't change it. You go to select, you go to build, you execute, and you tell everybody, it's too late. So I'm concerned that Ferndale, I would like to know that you're involved in this process and are as concerned as I am about this track. It cuts right through Ferndale. I know you guys are very concerned about vehicles on I-5, on the overpass, but what about trains right through Ferndale? You guys have come out. The trains are already going by, the coal trains to Canada, at least one a day, both ways. So the Pacific Gateway wants up to 9. What about how many are going to go to Canada? Is the train system currently designed to handle how many? So I guess I'm asking, as Ferndale inquired, is there a study to review how much capacity is currently, or can BNSF handle without the siding? What if the Gateway doesn't go through and they still put the siding in? Well, we're all stuck living with this crossing over a parallel track, and did we need it? That's my concern. So I'm just asking you guys as council members to maybe get involved in the process and maybe ask for some information. If you have more than I have, I'd like to get you my email and be involved in the process.
Mr. Bannerman, you work at the refinery.
Yes.
Is there that much truck traffic that uses that
I'd say during the turnaround, we had 2,400 people during the day and about 1,400 on night. Traffic currently was backed up onto I-5 routinely for periods of an hour in the mornings and at night.
At Grandview,
onto the freeway because
about
of...
the Brown Road?
Well, on April 18th, I got up at 4 o'clock to go to work because I heard a train. I was going to work at 4:30. I'm sorry. I got up at 3 o'clock, and a train was blocking Brown Road and Grandview, sitting, stopped. At 20 minutes after 4, which was over an hour, people were going up and down Port Away, like trying to figure out a way to get by the train. They couldn't figure out that you got to go to Custer and go Bruce Road. So I finally went to work. The train was still blocked. I drove to Custer, went Bruce Road, and I thought, what if that had happened at 3:30 in the afternoon rather than 3:30 in the morning? Well, if we have more trains, parallel tracks, and I pull up and I can't see around and I try to sneak across and I get clobbered, that's where I'm concerned about safety, and I'm concerned about in a parallel track, the trains are going to go slower and just cause more congestion. Today, the Amtrak goes by, they blow their whistles. You get used to that. It's like a jet. And I'm okay with them going by, but I'm concerned about them switching, stopping, moving, banging and clanging. And if there's that many trains, it's going to be 24 hours a day. It ain't going to be 10 trains a day. It's going to be one every 10, 15 minutes. So I support Gateway. I'm concerned about the railroad and the impact of Ferndale. And I've lived here 40, like I said, Ferndale, where I live now for 40 years. I'm a lifelong Ferndale resident, and I'm just concerned.
So you live in that, you live in that parcel between Port Away and the freeway?
Yes. Okay. Yep, I have a little farm there. You know, and that's future development, and I know that, you know, you guys have annexed into the city, or I'm annexed now. So I view that, you know, you're looking at tax dollars and traffic and vehicles, and now all of a sudden you're going to talk to people and go, well, we were going to build there, but the rail's causing us a lot of problems and grief. We just want to make sure we're thinking of that down the road. So,
Councilperson Watson?
Actually, my question is for staff. Has staff heard of the tracks, and is this related to the Gateway Pacific at all? Is it truly related?
Here's the Pacific Gateway letter. I'll give you copies. I'll read it if you're interested. BNSF Gateway proposes to add rail facilities, install a second track along 6 Mile Custer Spur.
Well, because I'm wondering, if it is part of Gateway, I think the public comments are still open. If you want.
No, they were March 11th.
Wanted to close?
Well, the first phase.
Okay.
I can explain that a little bit. The EIS process, environmental impact statement process, is such that they did the opening round of comments on the concept of having an EIS, I guess you could say. They will now move into the second phase, which is the scoping of what the EIS will look at. And the city staff is preparing a list of what we want that EIS to look at insofar as the impacts to the city. And most of the ones that you listed, we had already listed, the Brown intersection, just traffic and how increased rail affects traffic. We would then send that over to the county, and then as they do their EIS study, they would come up with mitigations, if that is included in the study. They'd come up with the list of impacts, mitigations, and then it would be up to the county and the Department of Ecology as co-lead agencies to determine what mitigation measures would be applied to that project.
Can Mr. Bannerman make comments as well?
Have you seen the drawing or the design?
I have not seen the drawing of the design. And
I'll give a copy here if you guys are interested. They were proposing on my neighbor across the road building a 180-foot retaining wall, having two on-ramps for him to be able to cross the parallel track because the angle was too steep to come off Port Away. Once they realized that he's a single homeowner up there, they went, oh, well, we're not going to do that. You got to find a new way out of your house. So he's going to have to connect from his house back through that J.H. Kelly property over off the Grandview Road now. So, I'm glad. I want to be, I'd like to, you know, more information and like to be as involved as I can in the process. And I'm just one guy. I tell you, I ain't going to turn this around. But the design, the main concern I have is it's on the Port Away side. I think it should be on the east or the west side of the existing track, farther away from Port Away to give people more options at intersections.
Plus, there's a huge ditch that runs through there.
A lot of drainage problems. So, thank you. Any other questions?
Do you have any alternatives to that design?
Like I just mentioned, if I was to propose a different one, I could see if their design was on the west side of the existing track, which puts it 15 feet to the west rather than 15 feet towards Porta Way.
I'm thinking that they probably don't own the right-of-way.
They're right down the middle, and they have a 100-foot right-of-way. And it's on the drawing. I can show you if you're interested.
Yeah, interesting.
It should be noted, because I know DOT has mentioned that, that Grandview now at times is an F. Mm-hmm. Grandview is at an F now as we exist.
I think the reason for it being on the design on the east is when you come back to Ferndale, the siding is on the east, and it's so it would be logical for them to probably, you know, make a connection, keep it on the east, and that way, you know, parallel track, 6 miles long, there will be several one-mile-long trains sitting there ready to go as they're changing directions and stuff. I just see a lot of transferring going on.
Okay, any more questions for Mr. Bannerman?
I think mine's more for staff. Isn't there a regulation that the trains can only block an intersection so long?
15 minutes.
Is that for any intersection, or is it just arterial types?
I believe that was ruled illegal. I was involved in something like that up in Blaine, and they came back that the cities have no jurisdiction over train traffic.
I think it's
very true, but Councilperson Goodrich is correct in the fact that the time regulation is still there. That's a nice statement to say. That comes directly from Burlington Northern. The problem is there's no one regulating that. There's no one going up and down the railroad going, aha, you're 2 minutes over.
Yeah, I thought of calling the State Patrol at 3:30 in the morning, but it ain't that important.
So, Mr. Mayor, I'm getting kind of conflicting. Is it the way he says it, that there is no jurisdiction or no enforceable? Or is it what
well, cities can't enforce it.
Correct. I mean, and how would we? I mean, we're not going to send our police out and pull the train over and, you know, go to the front and go, okay, you've been parked there too long, here's a parking ticket. But it is a state regulation. Actually, I think it's 12 minutes. I don't think it's 15, it's 12. But Burlington Northern will tell you there's nobody administering that rule. Okay. So, okay, any more questions?
Anybody like some of this information, or you're fine with it? Okay. Oh, just in the head. You got a photocopy?
Yes.
Can you, either way?
Yeah, I'll email it.
Your observation was of the state saying that now at F intersection? Right. Grandview?
Washington State Department of Transportation, on their study, shows Grandview to be an F. At times of the day, Grandview is
in your opinion, is it because of the railroad?
Mr. Bannerman will tell you that certain times there's too much traffic there, and it's a poorly designed overpass.
They finally added the four-way stop, so that will help a little bit.
Thornton's well, but
it's Portaway.
Yeah.
No, at the overpass.
That's one of the reasons why we wanted to close the third.
Just like they've done at the Birch Bay Linden.
Yeah.
Well, they've added the four-way stop, and that allows people getting off the freeway a chance to merge onto Grandview. But just with peak traffic, there's still, as I heard, it was as bad as back to the Portaway overpass, almost over a quarter mile on I-5. People on the shoulder, that's a different issue.
Well, but
the more trains will cause that.
That's a positive thing. We've all learned that when traffic starts backing up on I-5, that gives the DOT attention. They don't like that.
I've seen it one way, the river floods in Ferndale, and you can't go out 1Z. Everybody diverts north to Grandview, and I've seen the same situation then.
1Z, boy, you are an old-timer.
Slater Road.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the council tonight? Okay, none? Okay, council, moving on, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay. Sorry. Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carries 7-0. Okay, next up is the Main Street Bid Award. Welcome, Katie Ratty.
Thank you. So we received bids Friday before last. We got a good response from our advertisement for bid for the Main Street project. And this bid includes improving the roadway from Douglas to Church, including new underground utilities, water, sewer, storm, sidewalks, and then the pond and the conveyance to the pond. So the low bid was submitted by Ram Construction General Contractors, Inc., for a bid price of $3.5 million and change. So Public Works is actually recommending award to Ram, plus then a contingency of just around 10% for a total contract amount of $3,951,404.93.
Questions of staff, Councilperson Zimmerman?
Did I just hear you say that utilities would be put underground?
No.
It includes underground utilities, meaning water, sewer, storm, that sort of thing. Utility lines, the communications and power will remain overhead. Cascade Natural Gas will remain underground.
Councilperson Ingram?
Just quickly, Katie, there was concern that Ram's bid was a bit low. Is he comfortable with that? I mean, have we... Well, it's not that, if he can't complete the work because he's underbid it so far that he goes bankrupt in the middle of it, I don't want to see the middle of downtown torn up for another year.
Bids were extremely competitive, but they were tight. They weren't extremely low. There was a good grouping of responsible bids. And
Super.
You know.
What was the next? I didn't see what was the distance. The amount of the next bid.
The next lowest bidder was Colacurcio Brothers of Blaine, and I believe they were about $183,000 more.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the bid plus the 10% contingency.
Second.
Move to second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, before you step down, do you want to give a review of what happened last Friday, which is kind of unique? I thought that was a good day.
Yeah. Mayor Jensen was invited to a meeting of the Ferndale Downtown Association, and so he invited Sam Taylor and myself to attend, and so it was a grouping of business owners from downtown and to discuss basically their concerns regarding the Main Street project. I think a lot of those concerns are kind of carried over from, you know, the previous phase of the project. So, you know, we were able to sit down and have a very productive conversation about, you know, generally what the schedule holds, you know, what kind of impacts there may be to traffic, and then, you know, the associated impacts to downtown. And I think there was a very good exchange of information as far as their concerns and what the, you know, how the city approaches the project and what we've done to try to mitigate those concerns. And, yeah, we were able to talk over a few things. Public Works actually has and I'm sure Janice will talk about this later. We've got our yearly open house. And so we did invite the downtown business owners to come to the open house. I think that's on the 23rd, because we'll have information on that project as well as others where we can, you know, discuss various items that they might be have questions about.
Now, the one item, Council, that was the big concern of the day that, you know, maybe you'll hear from constituents, maybe you won't, is the road will be closed. We estimate a 3-week period. The road, they'll have to replace a culvert just to the west of Henderson Road. And it has to be a fish pass culvert. I learned on the Friday meeting what that actually means, so now I know what a fish pass culvert is. I was thrilled to know that information. But that basically, closure there gives some very good options in terms of moving traffic around. Somehow, I think some of the people got the impression we were closing down Ferndale for a while, but there's lots of detour routes available. So we'll be doing signage, basically. It's a very good suggestion. So great start to a project that we're kind of working together with business community. So any questions of Katie before she steps down?
Hold it all.
Councilperson Watson is first, and then Hanson.
Do we have a start date yet? Have you
We don't. I think we will be pushing for June 4th, which is the first Monday after the Memorial Day holiday.
Okay.
Vice President Hanson?
I get a little bit concerned when I hear things like the Downtown Association was involved in this because they weren't. It was members of the Downtown Association acting on their own behalf. The president is sitting here right now and, as you know, did not attend that meeting. In fact, if we liberally interpret their nonprofit status, they're not allowed to because it's a political kind of pressure. So, yes, it was many members of the Downtown Association, but that was not an official request from them. Am I correct?
Duly
that was
noted.
My misunderstanding.
Clerk is typing to correct that. Okay, any other questions for Katie? Councilor Zimmerman?
The numbers are so good that I'm just going, why couldn't we have had a contingency plan to put the utilities underground? That's just one of my pet peeves. I really think it makes a good-looking city, and we had a little bit of room in there, so... Do it right, you can do it
that
right.
That was almost $2 million plus, wasn't it? To underground
the undergrounding
all
the utilities? I'm not sure what that figure was.
Not $2 million.
Yeah, it was big.
That was.
It was huge. Plus the additional right-of-way we had to acquire.
We don't have that exact number. Again, it was Janice. So. Okay.
Comment?
Yes.
Just so you know, there's a substantial city match for this project, over about $600,000 this year and next, coming from real estate excise, traffic mitigation, REIT 2. And, you know, and it's not, money's not all the bank, so there's no way to pay for extras like underground electricity lines and stuff like that. So there's still some risk. We'll get it done, and if we need to, we'll have to stretch out the repayment of vendor fund loans, but we'll, you know, the project will be financed. No problem with that.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Katie.
Thanks.
Just one.
Okay,
here,
next up.
Just one quick question, Gary.
Excuse me, yes?
Is our police force going to be okay with actually closing that road for 3 weeks? Is that going to impact, how's that going to impact any of their response time?
Basically, Public Works does a great job. Katie does a great job. Janice does a great job. Informing everyone. So, yeah, that won't be a problem.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, we're moving on to the media kiosk, and our clerk, Sam Taylor, who's spent hours on this ordinance, will kind of show you the different direction that
most of them in the ring.
Thanks, Council. The long and short of it is I'm going to request that we refer this back to committee because there's more work to be done. But really quick, the reason why is because I've been given some very good feedback from the Washington Newspaper Publishers Association, which you've all received an email from requesting that this be held off on. And I wasn't initially going to agree to that, seeing that we have 6 months before it's effective and we could change it. However, we also did receive feedback from the Bellingham Herald today, which made some very good points about some parts of this. For quick background, the ordinance is citywide, but the regulations around the city are very general in terms of public safety, certain distance from the building, no chaining to public facilities, trees, bushes, light poles, etc. The focus is the downtown core, where we've put in place style requirements, color requirements, and specific location requirements. Based on the feedback that I received today, there's some good questions regarding kind of location. The entire time we've been discussing this, we've all recognized that the entire reason why these private companies put their boxes in a certain location is that they know people are going to pick up the product and read it. We also know that, and I'm sure everyone here would agree, that our community does benefit from having media information on public rights of way. The courts have said that we all recognize that, so I guess we have to. There's one specific location that's in the ordinance that there are concerns about, the subway location, where we've now said, rather than being at the subway pillar, which there are several racks now, go across the street. The companies have said, we don't think anyone will pick up the product there, so we're not going to put one there in the first place. We don't necessarily want to stop them from doing that. So I'm hoping we can have maybe a little bit more discussion about placement there. There are some questions about, there's a specific section of this related to no racks abutting a park or being in a park. And I think we all recognize that we don't want these racks in a park, but perhaps on the sidewalk next to a park. They have indicated, and they're the experts, there is value to having them there. People do pick up a newspaper and read it in the park. So I'm not saying that we should change it, but I think we should have a discussion about it. The other one happened to do with residential areas. We've said in this ordinance that except for downtown, which is a mixed-use area where there will be residential and commercial, we've said no other residential areas should we have these. Sometimes there might be an apartment complex that requests one of these. They might not necessarily want it on their property or have a good space for it where it makes sense. We might have a sidewalk that's wide enough, that's appropriate enough. There haven't been any concerns throughout this process about residential. It's something I added in because it made sense at the time. But I specifically did send this out to local companies and the Chamber of Commerce and the Ferndale Downtown Association so I could get this feedback. So I'm very appreciative that all of these local groups have shared that. And I think it would be appropriate for me to at least look at it one more time to think about it and bring it back to you.
Mr. Smetzler?
Do you need a motion or action from council to send it back to committee or just I'm fine with that. So I'm fine.
You can move to refer it to committee.
So move.
I second.
Okay. Further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich?
I had one question. I know at one time we had a slideshow or something that showed like multiple newspaper things in one rack. Is that what you're still looking at doing or can for those of us, can we get pictures?
The way the regulation is set out now is that the freestanding racks, which are the single modular rack, are still allowed up to a certain point. It's five or more in a location are appropriate. Right now we don't have really that many in the city. It's unlikely that we will. There aren't really any new publications popping up out of the ether and wanting to place these. In fact, circulation, you know, that type of circulation is going down. But there is, when they get to a certain point, the requirement that they go to a modular design where, specifically in the downtown, they would apply for a permit for such a rack. That would require review by public works staff because it would require an encroachment permit to bolt it to the sidewalk so they don't damage it. If they did damage it, they'd have to fix it and pay for it. When they go to that modular style, each organization would have to participate in that one rack. And there's a portion that says that they would have to provide for fair reimbursement to the whichever company purchased it first, basically. I have not heard from all organizations specifically related to that, but the Herald, I did speak specifically with the Herald about that today because they noticed it and they said they don't want to have to spend the money, but they would if they had to. I got a lot of good feedback from the local publications about it. Probably the biggest pushback we've got on the ordinance overall is from the Newspaper Publishers Association because they are a statewide organization advocating statewide. They don't want to set any bad precedents. And so I'm open and willing to listen to their concerns. We might not agree in the end, but I think we should hear them out just to see what their thoughts are.
I thought the original proposal, though, or the original driving force, is we didn't want a bunch of individual stands. We wanted in downtown, we just wanted the modular one. And from what I'm hearing from you, what I think you're saying is it has to hit a certain limit of
Correct.
Individual stands. And that seems kind of against where this whole thing was originally headed and going.
Really, the biggest concern we had for downtown was the propensity for publications, not probably local, that were simply slapping down specialty publication racks, real estate books, Auto Trader, whatnot. And that was the biggest concern. The issue is that you cannot regulate one of those types of media. The courts have said commercial speech, just like media speech, are equal. And so that's where we then had to start looking at it from one perspective and saying, okay, we have to regulate them all fairly. When we started discussing that, it became clear that our options were either purchase them on our own as a city, and then we are responsible for maintaining them, or we come up with an odd ordinance that I don't think any other jurisdiction in the nation has done where we do some type of required modular with one company managing them on our behalf, and who do we pick, and it was just very elaborate and might not, frankly, be legal. So this was sort of a compromise is the way we went.
Councilperson Hansen?
One step further with that. The five that he's talking about all must be the same style and all must be the same color. So you won't have a green one next to a blue one
next to a purple one. They'll all be Ferndale green.
Councilperson Metzler?
And in a sense that will sort of look modular because they are uniform. And I just want to say, having kind of been involved with this for 2 years, an extraordinary amount of work from Clerk Taylor has gone into this, and I was sort of hoping you could say goodbye to this tonight, but I appreciate your understanding and continuing to work on that on behalf of the city. It's not easy, and I think we thought that it was going to be easy. But
Clerk Taylor came to the decision to postpone it after much difficulty.
It is fairly complex, and probably sometimes more complex than some of our community development regulations, which is probably why they had me do it, not Yori. That's recorded, too.
So. Okay, moving on. We've discussed this enough. We have a vote before you to put this back to the committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.
Thank you, Council.
Yuri, do you want to get in on who actually ran faster in the Hagen?
I was going to say that Sam probably thought of that when he had the additional 3.5 minutes when he was being administered to on the side of the road during a 5K the other day.
Excuse me, what was that time?
Sam finished it in 2 hours and 50 minutes, which is just an hour less than my wife took to run the Vancouver Marathon.
Okay. And the statement is payback is coming.
Yeah.
Okay, in Ferndale, where we have fast city employees. Okay, capital project.
Going down that road.
Yes, Councilperson Zimmerman.
The mainstream bid award, we vote on it or just yeah. Pass on it?
Yeah, we did vote on
it. We just voted.
We voted on it unanimously.
I must have been thinking about something else.
You said yes. Okay. You were watching your lips. Okay, capital project updates.
Can I just pick one?
Or yeah, just pick one.
Long time no see. So, Main Street I have on.
Yeah.
What's that? Main Street?
That's as nice as I've ever seen you look, Katie. I think you're beautiful.
Thank you. It's blatant sexism.
Wow.
There's no blatant sex. I'd say the same thing about Gary.
That would be
right on, Gary.
Okay, so Main Street, I've heard, just recently got awarded by council, and so start date on that will be early June, probably the 4th. I don't know if there's more specific questions regarding that or not.
Logo team.
You have a gun? Sure enough.
Was that my wife?
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Continue on. Sorry.
Main Street. Are there any questions about Main Street?
I hope you do as incredible as you have done on everything else you've overseen.
Thank you.
Person Watson.
I just had a quick question since Councilmember Hansen is here. Do we know what the WTA said about whether we should put in the places for the
yes,
shelters?
Yes, we do. Not only
we
will
can
they
have a report from the WTA representative on that. Councilperson
not only
Hansen.
Will they allow them to be put in, they will probably give he said there's enough wiggle room in their thing that when it becomes time to put those in, they probably pay for it.
Wow. Yay.
The two of them. I think there's two.
Both, even though they're not.
There's three along there, but the one that, I believe the one that's in front of the, that used to be the dental off there at Shannon, mm-hmm. probably is not. But there's one up at the church
Henderson.
And one down by the school.
There's three stops. There's one at Hendrickson, one at Shannon, and one at Church Road.
It's the Church Road / it's the Seventh Day Adventist Church now in the plain. Okay.
Oh, the one.
It's moving a little farther west.
We'll move directly onto Main.
There is none. Once the bus turns the corner, the next one I believe is at the Metcalf property up on top of the hill.
So do we
once
need
Church
to
Road's complete?
Once Church Road comes in. Well. But I don't believe. I believe they're taking away the Church Road stop once they establish the stop at the Seventh Day Adventist Church.
I think you have to come down the hill now. They won't.
Oh, they're taking away the one at.
But it's the one
Norway.
That's in front of the Adventist Church that they have agreed, at least verbally, that they will consider putting it in, and the one at the apartments there.
Hendrickson.
At Hendrickson Road, and they will put the shelters up. It'll be one of the smaller shelters, but it'll be a shelter.
Is that something we would have to work? That RAM would work with WTA, or is that something that the city would work with?
The only thing that needs to be worked is the concrete pad.
Okay. And I believe that we can take a look at the size of the concrete pad to make sure that it will accommodate that, but
they do have a
WTA does their own installation, and maintenance and that sort of thing.
That'd be great. I mean, because get that done before rainy season would be wonderful. Thank you.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I was just going to ask Katie, I'm assuming that we are not paying much attention to the deteriorating intersection at Church Road and Main Street because we're going to tear it all up.
Right, we're not going to patch it.
That one chuckle is getting big enough to just about swallow the car.
Yeah, it's kind of terrible out there.
Project start in June. So.
Yeah, I figured it'd be tearing it up. So.
Okay, any further questions from Katie on Main? Seeing none. Next.
Police station, do you want to go first?
Oh, yeah, I'll start on police station. The Carlucuccio is off-site now, at least the bulk of their apparatuses are off-site. They're still doing, we went through last Wednesday, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, we went through and did what's called the architect's punch list. So we had a group from the police department there, and we went through, it took 6 hours, went through every single room, every light switch, checked the heating, air conditioning, inside, outside of the building, came up with a list of probably a few hundred different minor things, paint splatters here and, you know, what have you there. And so it's some things are most of them are fairly minor and cosmetic. Other ones are, we just have to wait for certain pieces to arrive. The tower is going to be erected here fairly soon, but that's moved off-site temporarily. So Carlucuccio will be working in the building off and on, but now we're turning over to the outside parking lot civil portion, which is, of course, Faber Brothers, and then following Faber Brothers, we'll be doing the fencing, the landscaping, and the irrigation. So we're really getting down to the minor things, if you will. But the building itself is pretty much completed. We'll be having the carpeting. We'll be going in a little bit later. It's carpet squares like we have down at the pavilion. It's not the rolled-out carpet. So we wanted to wait till a lot of the messy work is done outside the building before we have the folks from Linden come in and lay down the carpet so that doesn't get all mudded up. So anyway, next phase that you'll be seeing up there is the civil portion, and that is Faber.
Yeah, Faber, they actually started mobilization this week. They're having materials delivered and that sort of thing. They'll be doing some of their erosion control. And then the dirt will fly starting Wednesday. So looking forward to that.
And Faber has a 20 working day schedule, so it'll be probably a month or so from now that phase will be done or nearly done.
Weather dependent, of course.
On this project, Councilperson Ingram,
I was just going to comment. The landscaping, has anybody talked to the tree board or any of the other volunteer groups around the city about maybe getting involved with some of that landscaping to save us a few shekels?
Yeah, probably need to have some more conversation about it. We have been talking about wanting to work with some of the local wholesale growers here in Whatcom County, and the idea of maybe having others besides the contractor to actually do the installation is all a possibility. We'll be breaking it up insofar as we'll be doing the gates and the fences will be one bid, and then the irrigation and landscaping would normally be one bid, but because you normally get a contractor that does both. But that doesn't mean we couldn't go with an irrigation contractor to put in that and then maybe mobilize some of our the army of volunteers we have for the actual planting of the plant material itself. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
Councilperson Olson?
Occupancy when?
I'm hoping, and it really, of course, these things are always have a tendency to kind of slide around. I'm hoping that July is move-in month.
July 4th ribbon cutting.
So we
let's do it July 4th.
We may be, my hope is that by August we'll certainly be in the building. Now, when in July we'll be able to, throw out the first drunk, I don't know.
Karen, the first
drunk. Okay, strike that.
Carry out our threshold.
Was the tape on for that?
Carry our first drunk over the threshold.
Moving on to the next capital project.
The other one I have is Church Road. Be gone.
So trusting. Note that Councilperson Hansen is recusing himself from the Church Road discussion.
Okay. So for Church Road, we're still working to obtain right-of-way, and I can't remember the last time I talked to full council about this, but we've made really pretty good progress considering the unpredictability of, you know, negotiations in general, and then the time frames that it may or may not take to work all these things out. So to date, you know, there's a total of 42 parcels where we either need a temporary construction easement in order to get the road healed back in as far as making driveway matches and yard matches and that sort of thing, plus then the full takes. So of those 42 parcels, we've acquired over half of the fee and TCE, and 82% of the TCE only, TCE being temporary construction easement. So overall, we've acquired 64% of the properties. We're pretty close on a few others. There's a lot of details to be worked out. It's a fairly complex project just due to the grades and the proximity of houses and dealing with the grades and matching the driveways and that sort of thing. So, like I said, I think we're making very good progress and move it forward.
Questions? Councilperson Watson?
On the committee, you mentioned you had kind of a drop-dead deadline because of a grant that we had. Is there at some point you're going to send out letters to people letting them know there's this drop-dead date for the city's sake?
Right. We have a Public Works Trust Fund loan in order to do the right-of-way acquisition and the design, and we are required to obtain that right-of-way and get the design done by June, which is an extremely tight time frame.
End June or June?
I think it's the end of June. Yeah, it's the end of June. So we're already talking to property owners. We're talking to property owners, and, you know, of course, when we approached them from the very beginning, a year ago, we basically explained the eminent domain condemnation process and explained that it is a process that allows the city to keep the project moving forward while also preserving their rights as a property owner. So we've been talking to property owners that we haven't settled with as of this time and letting them know what that deadline is, and that just in the course of the process, we'll be possibly following up with eminent domain action soon in the future.
Thanks.
Any other questions on this project? Seeing none? Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Do you want to, since you're the most colorful person here, stand outside the door and see if you can catch it?
Whistle it, Mel.
That works for him when he had to go outside of bed. Now it's 70 degrees.
Yeah. He disappeared.
That way. He's negotiating with him. I think she's made contact. We'll wait for Councilperson Hansen to return.
His wife can always fetch him.
Yeah.
Greatest hits by John Souza.
Sounds like it's rap that he listens to.
I suspect
what's up,
John Souza. Welcome back.
Thanks, you guys. I'm going to leave.
This was a rather casual council meeting.
Definitely that kind of thing.
Okay, we're on to a mayor report. So the only report I have is the citywide cleanup is going well. Speaking at another church this Sunday, that's going well. So if you have the weekend, if you can't come help us Saturday, Sunday is open. Sunday has way better food. Not to discount
hot
dogs on
Saturday.
What
are you talking about? No, 19th.
It's not this Saturday, right?
No, it's 19th and 20th.
Okay. Did you guess that, Paul?
I caught that.
Way better food.
Yeah, way better food.
Well, on the weekends they have pie and cake. On Sunday it's pie and cake. So
we'll have pie and cake if you'll get the cheese.
I don't know. The pie and cake kind of just changes the whole brand.
Be careful ordering a breakfast sandwich next time.
I better not. So that's it for mayor report. Council reports. Councilperson Ingram.
Just a quick question for Janice. I heard Katie saying that you're going to be inviting a group of the downtown business owners to Public Works Open House. Does that include? Does that include lunch?
She has a department.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure.
Councilperson Goodrich.
I just had a question to our public works person. When can we as a council get the numbers? I've asked for them several times for Main Street before and after Second Avenue project. Are we going to be able to see those traffic counts?
Yeah, I know we have them for Main, for Second. That work was delayed just because of weather, but by now that should have been completed. And yeah, you would help if you could just send me a quick email, and then I can forward that to Bo to have him pull that information for you.
Yeah, because the question was, was there a reduction in Main Street traffic after Second Avenue was done? Because that was one of the things that was the project was sold as, it would be a reduction in Main Street traffic. And
yeah, and in our gathering the traffic count information for that area of town, I mean, it was delayed because the staff, maintenance staff, they just they do that work as you know as they have some time. And so yeah, if you don't mind, just sending me a quick email, I'll forward that to Bo, and we'll try to get you that information.
Okay. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Here's a concept. I talked to a guy, and he rides the bus, and he'd like to have a bench. And he presented with the idea. He says, well, those nice green benches downtown. He asked me about those. I said, well, those were bought by certain people in memory of other people and this type of thing. He says, well, could I buy one of those and put it on my bus stop? And I said, well, you know, I know just the right two people to ask, Bertel and Mel.
I have nothing to do with it, so why are you mentioning my name?
Because you're WTA, and I said, well, maybe the WTA pay
WTA after. Won't pay for it, so.
Okay.
Go to the next person.
Would it be on city?
Can you bring that up next meeting, though, as an idea? If a citizen.
I don't care. Somebody wants to pay for it, go for it. The WTA.
Would they meet us halfway?
Or no.
Okay.
They will on a shelter, but not on this.
Well, they'll pay for half the shelter.
So, Councilman Sherman, if you would put that person in touch with the FDA,
okay.
He could find a way to fund the bench however he wants to fund it.
But it could be on at his stop that he of his choosing.
Which stop are you talking about? WTA will not put in a shelter until you have.
No. Just a simple bench.
They won't put in a shelter, which is the only thing they do put in. They don't put in benches.
Okay.
The shelter has a bench on the inside.
Right.
Until the stop has 20 boardings per day.
Okay.
Okay, so there's the threshold. WTA will put in a shelter with a bench on the inside when the stop generates 20 boardings per day.
But he doesn't want a shelter, he wants a bench.
This guy just wants a bench.
Then he gets to figure out how to pay for it. But as long as the city gives the okay to put it in the right of way and it meets all the ADA standards, I don't
see the
reason why it couldn't be.
So the best buy still goes to is your person that wants the bench. Contact the FDA. The FDA would work on the location for him, and then he would find funding however he could find.
Even though it's out of the FDA's jurisdiction as far as their.
Yeah, first standing out downtown now. The one thing is that the sidewalk has to be big enough to have the ADA clearance.
Right.
You know, plus the bench. So that's
what, four feet?
So just to save time, I'm always thinking lean. What is the actual price for a bench that Councilperson Zimmerman needs?
$1,250.
$1,250. Yep. Ben Brown.
Okay. Any other council reports or anything? Okay. I'm going to go to staff reports, and I'm going to start with Public Works.
As Katie mentioned, Public Works, we will be holding an open house on May 23rd at WICU, and we will have information available on our six-year transportation improvement program, our utility CIPs, Main Street project, also church, and Thornton, what we're planning on that for that project, and then also just kind of general like water conservation. So we're trying to cover just as much information as we can. We'll have staff available to answer questions. There'll be refreshments, and we're also doing the drawing again for the rain barrel. But this time you have to attend the open house to enter the drawing. So
what time? 6 to 8 o'clock at Wiku in the large conference room.
Questions for Public Works?
We're doing
seeing none.
We're doing lunch on Sunday. Oh. That's the day of the barbecue.
Sorry for the question.
Okay, moving on. Community development.
Two things. We are sending out letters to a variety of property owners around town, letting them know about, in the spirit of the Community Cleanup Day in May, that they probably all have their honey-do lists that they have come up with, or other people in their house have come up for them.
Or their neighbors.
And sometimes everybody needs a nudge. So what the city's doing is letting them know of potential things that they should clean up, and the city is providing them with 30-day amnesty, where if they clean it up within those 30 days, great, no penalties. If for some reason they can't because of physical inability or financial, then we have some community organizations that are volunteering to do it. We've also contacted several of the local hardware shops to let them know as well. Give everybody a nudge in the right direction and get the city cleaned up. The only other thing that I had was one of the items on our consent agenda, Labounty Estates, is actually a project of our associate planner, Ryan Morrison, and he couldn't be here today because over the weekend, last weekend, he became a new dad. So Arlo Morrison was brought into this world, and he's tall, I know, and I don't know if he's a redhead or not.
So why can't Ryan be here?
He is probably changing diapers right now.
Okay. How long is he planning on milking that out?
That's a rusty.
Totally inappropriate question. Moving on, City Administrator?
I'm all set.
Finance Director?
Nothing.
Please? Clerk?
I'm going to beat Yori next year in the Hagen and Hagen by 6 minutes.
That's on public record.
Okay, that's on tape.
You weren't typing when you said that.
I'll put it in later.
Okay.
Move and now we all have evidence when you try to, you know, take me out of
the meeting. I have a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. We are adjourned. Let's right before 7 o'clock.
Quick, just a record.
Great meeting. 8 years. This is a quick